This is Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good to have you along. There are a couple of stories to follow up on with the Russian attack on Ukraine, and joining to help us do that, international relations professor at U of T Trinity College, Toronto, Jack Cunningham. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good to have you. Banning Russians from visiting Canada would trap dissidents, liberals say. Specifically, this is Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly. Some countries have said we won't give visas to Russians right now. She's saying, no, we shouldn't act that way. Maybe we don't like Putin, but we don't have to act against the Russian people. How does this look to you?
Well, there are really two goals that are in conflict. On the one hand, we'd like to help the dissidents. On the other, the more that we inconvenience Russians, whether it's a ban on visas, a ban on investments, the more we up the pressure on Putin. So I would favor a ban on visas.
All right. Well, maybe the opposition does too. How's this playing politically?
It's tough to say. I'm not sure how much of the electorate is really focused on the issue, but I suspect most of the public would be generally supportive. There's generally been a high level of public support for all of the measures the government has taken against Putin.
Why do we still have their ambassadors here?
Well, I think that's the conventional wisdom at Global Affairs Canada, that you want to keep open diplomatic channels and keep the lines of communication open. I'm not sure that's really necessary, though. There are umpteen different levels of communication, some open, some quite covert. And you don't really need an ambassador to be able to maintain adequate communications. The Prime Minister's father once said that instead of ambassadors, he could get everything he wanted to know about international affairs from the front page of the morning's New York Times. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but not much. So I would favor sending the ambassador home.
All right. You know, I can understand the argument. It's probably debatable in terms of why you would have the ambassador here. I could be in favor, and you are in favor of sending him home, because that makes a message as well. Sure, you want to talk to them. They made the mistake, the Liberals, of dancing with them. That was a problem.
Yes, the government has really sent somewhat mixed messages on occasion. I think this is one.
All right. Well, I think it will be subjective, too, as to whether or not we should allow Russian citizens to say, I'm getting out of Russia and I'm going to Canada and give them visas. I'm sure that's a conversation that will continue. I'm talking to Jack Cunningham, international relations professor at the U of T Trinity College. Another story in the news out of Russia is that Putin apparently is drafting anti-war protesters into the military. How are you reacting to that?
Well, I don't think he'll find they're very reliable soldiers. he's obviously got a problem with domestic expressions of discontent, and this is him lashing out at it. There is considerable public disquiet at the war in Ukraine, and it is mounting. I mean, the Russian public is probably divided into three groups: those who are for the war, those who are against it, and those who don't really care a great deal unless it inconveniences them personally. And the more Russians who are inconvenienced personally, whether it's through not being able to get a visa or having a relative drafted into the military, the more pressure on Putin.
Well, I received a text message here, and this person writes, important distinction to make. The Russians protesting are anti-mobilization protesters, not anti-war. They haven't been protesting the war up to this point. Is that a fair?
Yeah, it's true. They're not all anti-war. They just don't want to be fighting it themselves. Still, I doubt that you'll find they make particularly motivated soldiers.
Well, but that's been part of the problem that Putin has anyway. I mean, the Ukrainian forces are obviously highly motivated, and there's been a belief, people like me just being able to read about it, not an expert and just reading some articles, but there's a belief there that actually a lot of the Russian soldiers aren't all that motivated, much less dragging in protesters.
I think their battlefield performance so far suggests that many of the Russian soldiers are not very motivated, and this is likely to only worsen that problem for Putin. He's in a difficult position, because all of his rather optimistic gambles have come up empty.
Well, they say in politics, it's the economy, stupid. And so when people in Russia are looking at whether or not it inconveniences them, what's happened over the course of this war to the Russian economy? Good, bad, indifferent?
Well, it's in pretty rough shape now, although there's always the prospect of assistance from Mr. Xi, with whom Putin seems to have something of a bromance going. But the more that Russians find they can't, for example, go to McDonald's, which is shut down, the more they can't use Visa, which is pulled out of Russia. The more daily inconveniences mount, the worse it is for Putin. The Russian economy has largely been kept afloat on energy, high energy prices. And that's its strong suit. It doesn't have many others.
Oh, so somebody's also writing to me saying the Russian soldiers are increasingly figuring out they've been lied to. The Ukraine wasn't being overrun by Nazis. Is that a sensible statement?
I think that is a sensible statement. Putin's propaganda on the cause of the war was pretty ridiculous at the outset of the war, and it looks even more so now. So I find it hard to believe that there are all that many Russians who really buy everything that Putin is trying to sell them.
I don't know what kind of feedback you get as a professor on a regular basis from the general public, but of course, doing what I do, I get a certain amount of it. And I'll tell you that that propaganda worked on some Canadians.
Yeah, well, there are Canadians who've long bought into the idea that the West basically cornered Russia with NATO expansion, and that Putin is acting defensively. I don't think that's historically defensible if you actually look at the documentary record. But you can always find a few people who'll swallow anything.
Well, I often wonder sometimes if I'm being contacted by actual Russians, like whether they're in Russia or Russians who moved here and still have some dedication to the homeland.
Oh, there are those. There are those. I mean, Putin does have a constituency. He's stayed in power as long as he has, largely by appealing to Russian nationalist sentiments. He hasn't delivered on the economy. He hasn't delivered on modernizing the society or good governance. What he has done is appeal to the nostalgia that many Russians feel for the days of Russian greatness.
Every once in a while in Rome, they would just off Caesar and get a new one. Is there any chance of that happening in Russia?
I think it's conceivable. I mean, Putin is very well protected, and he's got good security. He surrounds himself with people who tell him what he wants to hear. But it doesn't take that many to decide that this is the wrong road to go down, and that the leader has to go.
Yeah, well, there's that saying, you know, heavy weighs the crown, and so you hope that starts to happen. I mean, I don't know what that leaves us with. Hopefully just people who say, we need to get rid of him and we need to get out of Ukraine and fix our own country. And at that point, I guess it wouldn't be really any of our business.
Yes, and the longer the war drags on, the worse it is for Putin's prospects.
Jack Cunningham, International Relations Professor at U of T Trinity College. Good to have you. Thanks very much for this.
Not at all, Jerry. Take care.
Okay, I'm sure we'll talk again.
You're listening to Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.